Well, good morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath. Such a blessing to be in the house of God. Amen? I find it a privilege to worship with like-minded believers, and I believe we still have that freedom to worship. Amen? We still have that freedom. Things are not right today, and we could see how everything's culminating to a point where we're going to lose our freedoms. In fact, you could read Maranatha, a devotional book, the month of July, and from the 1st of July to the 30th, which is 30 days, every day she tells us exactly how this thing is going to pan out in our world. This morning, I've entitled The Great Reset, Crossing of the Red Sea. I know most of you have gone into the internet and looked up The Great Reset. I'm going to share just a little bit about that and what the plans they have for this world. You know, for God doesn't give us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And I know all of us here have a sound mind. We can reason things. We can look at things that this world will never be the same. And I just thank God that He's allowed us through His Word and the Spirit of Prophecy to give us light in this dark world. I'm going to kneel so that the Lord will guide us through this study. It's 12 o'clock. I hope to finish by 1. Put on your seatbelts so that we could look into God's Word as to enlighten us so that we can prepare for what is coming upon this world. Let us kneel. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I come humbly before your throne of grace on bended knees. For I am a man of unclean lips. As Isaiah says, woe is me. But it is only by your grace, through your Son Jesus Christ, that allows me to share this word. I pray, Father, that as you speak through me, that the words I speak will come directly from your throne. And I pray, Lord, that you will surround this sanctuary with your mighty and holy angels. The Holy Spirit to direct us thoughts into our hearts and our minds so that we can see that we're not living in normal times, but times that are going to change forever. So Father, guide me as I speak and use me in a mighty way that your name will be lifted up and glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to our text in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, looking at verse 17. If you're there, say amen. We're going to study the Bible a little bit this morning. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. A couple months ago, I gave a sermon on what the world needs to see is a revelation of Christ. And I believe that the world needs to see this revelation of Jesus Christ. And how are they going to see the revelation of Christ? Is it going to be on a mountaintop? Where are they going to see it? Are they going to see it on a banner at a billboard? Where is the world going to see Jesus Christ? They're going to see Jesus Christ in you and me. Amen? And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world for a what? For a witness. That means people are going to see Jesus. Let me move this mic. because I don't need this. Sorry. So the world is going to see Jesus through you and I. Because it says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So there's going to be an end. There's going to be an end. And this revelation will be seen through God's people on this earth. I believe God's people will be on this earth representing and reflecting Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? There's going to be a group of people that are going to be just like Him. Turn with me to Philippians. Philippians, go with me. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shines as light in the world. The book of Philippians is telling us that this world is crooked, but not only crooked, it's perverse. And you and I are seeing this as it's culminating, as it's coming to fruition of what is happening in our world. This morning we're going to look at the Great Reset and the crossing of the Red Sea. 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, I gave a sermon on Your Case is Coming Up, found in Daniel chapter 8, verse 14. Turn with me there. Let's go. Daniel chapter 8. We're reviewing today. Nothing new. We're just reviewing. You already know all these scriptures that I'm giving to you this morning, but it pays to review. Amen? When we do an exam at college or at school, I love a teacher that gives us the answers before the test. You ever had a teacher like that? She reviewed it with you, or he reviewed it with me, or with us. And so this morning, we're just reviewing, but to look at God's Word, and so that we can be reminded how we can prepare for this final events in this world. Daniel 8:14, and he said unto me, 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. This is Adventist theology. We based our beliefs as Seventh-day Adventists on Daniel 8:14. Go with me to Daniel 9. Daniel 9, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, upon thy holy city, to finish transgression and to make ends of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring an everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Here in Daniel chapter 9 verse 24, this is the 70 week prophecy. But here it's also telling us that we need to finish what? Transgression. We are facing the Great Reset, and I'm setting the foundation for our study this morning that in order for us to prepare for the Great Reset, we have to understand that we have to reflect the character of Jesus Christ. And here in Daniel chapter 9 verse 24, it's telling us that we need to finish transgression. You see, the church is waiting for some reformation that will happen, and that the church will be revived. But it's not a corporate reformation. It'll be individual. Amen? And here in this Word of God, it's saying to finish transgression, to make reconciliation for iniquity. That means we need to reconcile, for God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And our cases are coming up. Everyone here has a case pending. And do we have an intercessor? Do we have a mediator? Do you have a lawyer standing for you? And in this sermon, your case is coming up. No one knows when it's going to start or when it's going to end. Your case is coming up. I had read a statement on this subject. I want to pull it up, but it's in preparation of this final crisis. And I hope that we can understand, for the time that we have this morning, that we can understand that we not only need to understand that we need to reflect Christ, but this case that's coming and pending, we need to prepare for this time. And so, I'd like to read a statement, if I can find it. Here it is. She says this in Reflecting Christ, page 311. A storm is coming, relentless in its fury. We all know this. Then she says, are we prepared to meet it? Are we prepared to meet it? The perils of the last days are soon to come upon us. Already, they have come. Do you believe that? It has already come. It's here. And what, how, and how are we going to be prepared for this? We need not now the sword of the Lord to cut to the very soul of the marrow, but we need to understand that we need to get rid of the fleshly lust, the appetites, and the passions. For we are facing the great reset. Let me find this statement that I have prepared for us to study this morning. This is found in the Great Controversy. And we all have read chapters 35 of the Aims of the Papacy. This is found in 564. Hold on for a second. The Papal Church will never relinquish her claim to infallibility. All that she has done in her persecution of those who reject her dogmas, she holds to be right. And would she not repeat the same acts should the opportunity be presented? Let the restraints now imposed by secular governments be removed and Rome be reinstated in her former power. There would speedily be a revival of her tyranny and persecution. We know that we're seeing this power coming into play. And this world is changing. Let me find the statement. I have to read this. You know, my friends, early this morning, I was woken up at about 1:30. And as I was preparing for this presentation, I was battling with a warfare. At 1:30 this morning, I was woken up and I felt a hand pressing on this heart. And I wondered, what was this? So I got up and I couldn't go back to sleep. So I went into the living room and opened my Bible and I started to read and study what I was going to present to you this morning. And it felt like there was a complete warfare in my living room. It was a battle. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. We're dealing with the rulers of the darkness of this world. And right away I sensed what I was going through this morning. And I had to go on my knees and pray and say, Lord, please surround me with your mighty angels. Protect me. Keep me safe. This message that I'm presenting to you this morning, the devil does not want you to know it. He doesn't want you to know to prepare for what you and I will be facing. And so this morning, as I took a walk early, I felt like I was being attacked. So please, please, can you pray for me right now? We are dealing with a foe that is evil, my friends. And I believe God will prevail. Amen? The Great Reset, the crossing of the Red Sea. We know that we've seen it on YouTube. Many people are coming out and presenting the Great Reset. But I want to take the Great Reset from an individual that is very popular, and his name is Klaus Schwab. He is the founder and executive chairman of the World Economic Forum. And these are his words this morning, which I'm going to share just for a moment, so that we can get a glimpse of what this is all entailing. So I looked up that word, Greek, the Great Reset, and all it means, it's an act or an instance of adjusting or fixing something in a new and different way. You see something different today? I see something really different. Reset focuses on collecting data. What kind of data? Whatever. Collecting data, long-term, continuous monitoring. So what they're doing today is collecting data and monitoring you like never before. The governor told us, you can't have Thanksgiving party at your house. Did you guys hear that? You only to have so many people there, and they're going to monitor it. How are they going to do that? So they're going to reset, focus, collect data, monitor, which require data to be streamed via multi-parameter monitors. I'm not a technical person, but as I started to read and learn, I said, wow, they're doing surveillance. I have nothing to hide. No one has nothing to hide, unless you're a dealer or someone that's doing something illegal. Yet, the Great Reset agenda would have three main components. This is Klaus Schwab, the founder and executive chairman of the World Economic Forum. Go look that up. I don't have time to even go into that. But it's talking about this organization that is being controlled by another entity. So this Great Reset agenda would have three main components. What are the components? Number one, governments would implement long-term reform. So what we're going through today is not going to stop. It's going to continue. The lockdown, continue. This pandemic will continue. And so forth. It's talking about the economics, fossil fuels, governing intellectual property. What does that mean? Trade competition? I don't know what that means. But this is the agenda that they're going to maneuver in this Great Reset. Number two, economically, they're going to apply a stimulus plan, which sounds good. Equality and sustainability. You do your homework. You study this out. Because what we're going to see in this study also is that Ellen White pens it in the Great Controversy in the chapters 35 and 36. But we're going to look at that just for a little moment. Number three, addressing health and social challenges. Well, they all sound good. Yes. Because it's going to bring better business. They call it the three B's, building better business. Okay? That's quite the contrary, because the middle class is being kicked out, being eliminated. And you know, in Revelation chapter 13, it talks about only the rich and the poor. There is no middle class. At that point in world history, there won't be a middle class. That's what the Bible teaches. Rich and poor. And you can see the effect of this COVID-19. Food lines everywhere. In the island of Maui, Hawaii, lines. People are lining up for food. People that had jobs, people that have homes, people that have families are affected by this Great Reset. The COVID-19 crisis is affecting every facet of people's lives in every corner of the world. But tragedy need not to be its only legacy. On the contrary, the pandemic represents a rare, listen, but narrow window of opportunity, a rare opportunity to reflect and reimagine and reset our world to create a healthier, more equitable, and more prosperous future. This is quoted by Klaus Schwab, founder and executive chairman of the World Executive Forum. He also states there's going to be a platform with 200 detailed levels. 200 levels. Did you hear that? 200 levels. So this is just the beginning of this Great Reset. So what they're doing is they're squeezing all the water out of the sponge. This was provided by the World Economic Forum. He also states, in order to provide a detailed instructions on how the COVID-19 pandemic is to be used to implement a global monetary reset. You've heard it. I'm sure many of you have gone into your phones or your YouTube and seen this information that there is going to be a global monetary system, a reset, a digital currency, technocracy, and a totalitarian government worldwide under the guise of socialism and environmentalism and enslave humanity through a sinister vaccine conspiracy. It's coming. It's here. It's ready. God is holding the four winds of the earth. He's holding it until His people are sealed. And that's why when I gave that sermon on the world needs to see a revelation of Christ, we need to get to a point in our spiritual life so that we can reveal to the world, a dying world, the three angels' message. Illegal legislation has been put in place in numerous countries. So it's not only affecting our United States of America. It's happening all throughout the ranks. The Philippines is a hard place to travel now. To even go home, you need dual citizenship. It's getting more stringent to travel from different locations. You need a passport, practically, yes, to go to there, but to go to different cities, they make it very difficult. So it's illegal, but they're doing it. Why? Because of COVID-19. And it says here, to remove civil liberties. I don't understand this. We live in a nation that's free. Amen? To remove, this is part of the World Economic Forum. This is the Great Reset, to remove civil liberties, to destroy economies. To close down small, medium-sized businesses, to separate, isolate, and terrorize family members, to impoverish people, including by destroying jobs. Our jobs are going. Many jobs are going. And then it says this. This is not my words. This is their words. They're telling us this. To remove children from their families. To intern dissenters in concentration camps. That's far-fetched. I didn't believe that. But it's happening. Coming to a point where... you have to obey. Let me read this from the Great Controversy. This is page 580. And we all know that this World Economic Forum are just tentacles of this power. Because you know, turn with me to Revelation chapter 13. Go with me there. Revelation chapter 13. Are you there? Look at verse 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power. You know, who's the dragon? Who's the dragon? The devil. The dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as they were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And we know that this power, the first beast of Revelation 13, is none other than the Roman Catholic Church. And it has all its tentacles all over the world. In fact, here, I've read this chapter many a times in the aims of the papacy, and I realize we're living in a time where Ellen White has written this, and it's as plain sight today. Here it is, 580. The Great Controversy, the Roman Catholic Church, with all its ramifications throughout the world. I looked up that word ramification. It means small divisions proceeding from a main stalk or channel. That means there's branches of the church in every part of the globe. Forms one vast organization under the control and designed to serve interests of the papal see. Its millions of communicants. I looked up that word, communicants. It's one who communes at the Lord's table, who partakes of the sacrament. So, it's millions of communicants? That means they have people in legislation, in government offices, in every aspect of our lives that are working for this main power. Could be everywhere. It's millions of communicants in every globe are instructed to hold themselves as bound allegiance to the Pope. So when a governor from New York says, stay home, don't go to church, he takes his orders. From who? From this power. The millions of communicants in every country of the globe. And listen to this. She says, whatever their nationality or their government, they are to regard the authority of the church as above all other. So you can be the president of the United States and you take your orders from him, from this power. Though they may take the oath pledging their loyalty to the state, yet back of these lies, the vows of obedience to Rome, absolving from every pledge inimical to her interests. So you wonder, when this governor here in California tells you, stay home, you can't go to church, he takes his orders too. They may take an oath saying that they're godly people. But here, Klaus Schwab says there's a platform with 200 detailed levels of this great reset. This world will never be the same. We're facing a stupendous crisis. Ellen White tells us in the introduction of the Great Controversy, she tells us this, and this is one that you're familiar with already, but I'm just reviewing with you this morning. She tells us here in the intro, In the great and final conflict, Satan will employ the same policy, manifest the same spirit, work for the same end as in all preceding ages. That which has been, will be, except that the coming struggle will be marked with a terrible intensity such as the world has never witnessed. Satan's deceptions will be more subtle, his assaults more determined. If it were possible, he would lead astray the elect. We're facing a great reset this morning. And this man, Klaus Schwab, is actually telling us exactly how they're going to do it. And this is nothing to be afraid of. For God doesn't give us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has torment. And those that don't love are not made perfect in love. Those that fear are not made perfect in love. So this man, the founder and executive chairman of the World Executive Forum, takes his orders also. You see, you need to realize that our Constitution, you see, we just celebrated Thanksgiving. Why? What was the purpose of Thanksgiving? To thank God. Amen. But we need to thank God for our founding forefathers that came to this nation. Amen. Amen. We are thankful that our founding fathers came to this nation to come to give us religious liberty. And the Constitution provides that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment or of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. I have a little booklet. You know this booklet right here? This booklet right here is the Constitution of the United States. You know, isn't it a wonder that our schools didn't have us memorize it? Because this is going to be taken away. And as you're seeing it today, this great reset is taking this away. And where are the protesters? But they're muzzled. When there's some, they're muzzled. You don't hear it on the mainstream. And stop listening to the mainstream narrative. The Constitution guarantees the people of right of self-government. They're governing you and I now. Telling us what we can do and what we can't do. And you know what we're doing? We're complying. Going along with this great reset. Freedom of religious faith. Every man being permitted to worship God according to the dictates of his conscience. You have that right. I have that right. I remember when this thing hit back in March and our institution had us wear a mask. And I told my supervisor, do I have a right to not wear one? Do I have a right? Amen. You have that right. He says, no, you don't have that right. You work for us. If you don't comply, there's the door. And you know, my brothers and sisters, they're talking about vaccine now. I'm contemplating. My wife and I are talking about it. Because this is a serious one. Very serious one. Great controversy. 580. Marvelous in her shrewdness. And cunning is the Roman Church. She can read what it is to be. She bides her time. Seeing that the Protestant churches are paying her homage in their acceptance of the false Sabbath. And we all know that this is all going to culminate to worship. It's going to come down to worship. But they're using climate change for this movement. And what we're doing today is we're going along with this great reset. It is sad because the Bible tells us, let's turn our Bibles to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2. Are you there? Verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. We don't need to be deceived. The papacy that Protestants are now so ready to honor is the same that ruled the world in the days of the Reformation. It's the same power. They haven't changed. And all its communicants in the world shows its ramification that this great reset is designed to put a stranglehold on each and every one of us here this morning. Protestants are now so ready to honor is the same that ruled the way that ruled the world in the days of the Reformation, when men of God stood up at the peril of their lives to expose her iniquity. She possesses the same pride and arrogant assumption that lorded it over kings and princesses. It's the same power that controls all the kings of the earth, according to Revelation chapter 17. It's the same power. And what they want to show is that there's a difference between Republicans and Democrats when they all work for the same power. Same power. It's no different. She possesses the same pride, arrogant assumption that lorded it over kings and princesses and claimed the prerogatives of God. Her spirit is no less cruel and despotic now than when she crushed out human liberty. Crushed out human liberty. And she's doing it again. And slew the saints of the Most High. Yeah. Yes. The papacy is just what prophecy declared that she would be, the apostasy of the latter times. We're living in this great reset. This subject right here, I'm only touching a tad about it. It's so deep and wide and broad that I don't even have the time to present this morning. I have to use the great controversy to make us understand this is where we are. Now I when I read the great controversy, I read it and ask the Lord, show me it so that I can understand. We have to understand this. I have a desire in my heart to warn as many people as I can. Do you have that desire? The world needs to know what is happening. They have no clue what this great reset is. But you and I, as God's people, we have the great controversy. Here it is. It is part of her policy to assume the character which will be best to accomplish her purpose. What is her purpose? To destroy Protestantism? To destroy you and I? As God's remnant people? It is her policy will best accomplish her purpose. But beneath the variable appearance of the chameleon, she conceals the variable venom of the serpent. He is the representative of Satan. The Pope is the man of sin. This is the great reset. And this Carl Schwab, who is the world economic chairman of this forum, is giving us exactly what they're going to do. It's an opportunity to reflect, to reimagine, and to reset our world to create a healthier. Is it a healthier world? People are suffering. You know, I was telling some guys at work the other day, I said, you know, we are institutionalized. We work for the institution. So we're around people that have jobs. We are around people that have homes. We are around people that have money. We are around people that have cars, vehicles. But once you go outside that bubble, outside of the institution, you will see how much people are hurting. It's an opportunity to reflect, to reimagine. This is quoted by Klaus Schwab. It is to reset our world to create a healthier, more equitable, and more prosperous future. For who? For who? you and I know that this is the great reset. And we're living in that time now where we need to understand that a storm is coming relentless in its fury. Are we prepared to meet it? Our efforts, our self-denial, our perseverance must be proportionate to the infinite value of the object of which we are in pursuit. You see, my friends, this morning, man's great danger is being self-deceived. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 24, "Take heed, let no man deceive you." The disciples came to Christ saying, what are the signs before you come? What? Tell us. Matthew 24. You guys know this account. I'm just reviewing with you this morning. What? Tell us. We know that the preceding verses from 5 on, it talks about what's going to happen to this world. Pestilence. Earthquakes. But before he even go into those verses, he says, take heed. Let no man deceive you. And the problem with us today, man's great danger is being self-deceived. Indulging in self-sufficiency. Oh, I can do this. I can take care of it. And thus separating from God, the source of His strength. Our natural tendencies, unless corrected by the Holy Spirit of God, have in them seeds of moral death. We need a change. Because our only hope is Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. You see, my friends, God's Word has given warning of the impending danger. We are facing a troublous time. I'm not here to scare anyone. You should be rejoicing. Amen? We should be rejoicing. God's Word has given us warning of the impending danger. Great Controversy 581. We shall soon see and feel what the purpose of the Roman element is. Whoever shall believe and obey the Word of God. Do you believe the Word of God? If you believe the Word of God, she says this, whoever believes the Word of God will thereby incur reproach and persecution. That means every earthly support will be cut off. I don't think you understand that. I don't understand it. We have to come to a point where we're going to have to trust God by faith. Amen. You believe God's word this morning. We have to come to a point in our lives where you're willing to die for His Word. The Great Reset is here. But I'm not going to leave you there with the Great Reset. Because there is hope crossing the Red Sea. Amen? This is not to be discouraged. There's hope. Amen? We have hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to share the crossing of the Red Sea because the children of Israel were trapped. They were trapped. The Egyptians were coming. They had a mountain on this side which they couldn't climb up. And then they had this side, they had the ocean. My words are, I can't even present it. I have to read from Patriarchs and Prophets. Can I read it from Ellen White? Is that okay? Because this is where our hope lies this morning. We're all going to have to cross the Red Sea alone. Not alone, per se. But there's a deliverer. Amen? 288, Patriarchs and Prophets. I'm not going to read this whole thing. I just want to share a couple of statements to emphasize that you and I will be crossing the Red Sea from the most terrible peril. What does that word peril mean? Danger! One night had brought complete deliverance. The vast, helpless throng, bondmen unused to battle, women, children, and cattle, with the sea before them and the mighty armies of Egypt pressing behind, had seen their path opened through the waters and their enemies overwhelmed in the moment of expected triumph. Jehovah alone had brought them deliverance, and to Him their hearts were turned in gratitude and faith. You know the story, the account of what happened? They were trapped. And you know what, my brothers and sisters? We, as God's people, one day will have to face this deliverance. You're going to come up to the crossing of the Red Sea. She says, from age to age, it was echoed by the prophets and singers of Israel, testifying that Jehovah is the strength and deliverance of those who trust Him. Amen. There is a condition. There is a condition. You see, that song does not belong to the Jewish people alone. It belongs to you and I. The song of Moses. It points forward to the destruction of all the foes of righteousness. That means this great reset, who has been pushed by this group of people, will be destroyed. It points forward to the final victory of the Israel of God. There's going to be a final victory. There's going to be a final victory. The song of Israel's deliverance. You see, my friends, 290, patriarchs and prophets, God in His providence brought the Hebrews into the mountain fastness before the sea, that He might manifest His power. You see, what we're going to go through in this time of trial, this time of trouble, it is because God wants to manifest His power. He wants to manifest His power in their deliverance, and signally humbled the pride of their oppressors. He might have saved them in any other way, but He chose this method in order to test their faith. You have that faith this morning? My friends, we're going to have that faith. Because when every earthly support will be cut off, that means you won't be able to eat. I don't think you got that. You miss one meal, you're crying already. Can you imagine if you don't eat for 3 days? See what happens then. You don't know. You don't know what it means to not eat. When every earthly support will be cut off, you have to trust God. To test their faith and strengthen their trust in Him. It was by faith that they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. I love to sing that song, "My Faith Looks Up to Thee, Thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior Divine. Now hear me while I pray. Take all my sins away. My faith looks up to Thee." You see, my friends, in marching down to the very water, they showed that they believed the Word of God as spoken by Moses. They did all that was in their power to do, and then And then only the mighty one of Israel divided the sea to make a path for their feet. And only then. God is going to give us a path in this great reset. But in this great reset, there's going to be the crossing of the Red Sea. Just like Joseph's account. Joseph prepared for the famine that was to come. Did he not? 7 years of good food and 7 years of nothing. But he was prepared. Only because Joseph had that faith. So the great lesson here is taught for all time. You know, I'm going to read this paragraph and then we're going to close. Often, the Christian life is beset by dangers. Is your life beset by dangers? It's going to happen soon. Especially if you don't take the vaccine. And then some. Beset by dangers and duty seems hard to perform. The imagination pictures impending ruin before and bondage or death behind. Yet, the voice of God speaks clearly. Go forward! Amen? Go forward! Get out of the cities. Go forward! Get out of the cities! Oh, I'm going to just wait and see how it all turns out. Can you imagine if the children of Israel said, part the Red Sea first, and then we'll go ahead and cross? Did it happen that way? We should obey this command. And even though our eyes cannot penetrate the darkness, we feel the cold waves about our feet, the obstacles that hinder our progress will never disappear before a halting, doubting spirit. We cannot doubt anymore. We are living in a time where we need to cross the Red Sea, my friends. You see, the cloud that was a wall of darkness to the Egyptians was to the Hebrews a great flood of light, illuminating the whole camp, shedding brightness upon the path before them. So the dealings of providence bring to the unbelieving darkness and despair, while to the trusting soul, they are full of light and peace. The path where God leads the way, we may lie through the desert or the sea, but it is a safe path. Safe path. What a promise for us this morning. This is a message of hope. This is not a message of despair, but a message of hope so that we can prepare for the soon coming of our Lord and Savior. Amen. And lastly, I love the account of Paul. Paul. He says in the scriptures, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ became sinners, of whom I am chief. The great apostle Paul. He says this in 1 Thessalonians, but of the times and the season, brethren, you have no need, I write unto you, for yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as the thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, sudden destruction cometh upon them. The careless and unbelieving close their eyes to the evidence which Christ has given to warn men of his coming. They seek to quiet all apprehension, while at the same time, the signs of the end are rapidly fulfilling. Amen? Amen. It's happening. It's happening right in front of our faces. And we need to wake up. But those who receive light of truth as it shines upon their pathway are not in darkness, that this great event should come upon them unawares. Paul teaches that it would be sinful to be indifferent to the signs which precedes the second coming of Christ. But But he says, but he, brethren, are not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober this morning. Amen. We are living in the great reset. But there's a crossing of the Red Sea. This morning, I want to make an appeal. This is a critical time in our history, and we know that things are happening so rapidly that we cannot even keep up. Every day there's something new that's coming, and we cannot even keep up with the things that are happening in this world. But I know one thing for sure, as Paul says, I know one thing for sure, that as I look to Jesus, my author and finisher, that I can be saved. Look unto me and be saved, he says. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This morning, how many of you this morning want to rededicate your life to the Lord? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. For those of you that can kneel, let's take this to the Lord this morning, so that the Lord may grant us time and mercy, that He may see that we can be strong in crossing of the Red Sea this morning. Our Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to look into Your Word, not to be fearful, but to have that hope that You have presented in Your Word through inspiration. I pray, Father, for clarity of mind, that we can apply this into our lives so that we can prepare for these times. Strengthen our faith, our walk with You, to trust You with all our hearts, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and Your righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. This morning I pray for every hand that went up, and for their families and their extended families. I pray for this church. I pray for our leadership of our country, Lord. I pray for our churches. I pray, Father, for each one today as we commit our lives to You. Forgive us where we've neglected our duty. Forgive us where we've neglected our work. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Create in us a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within us. Father, we pray for deliverance today. Selfishness and pride, worldliness, whatever it is that is in contrary to Your will, Father, I pray that You will remove it this morning. Amen. Help us, Father, to prepare. We love You and we thank You that You've given us this privilege and this opportunity to come boldly to Your throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. Thank You. Thank You, Father, for the freedom of worship this morning. Guide each one now as we travel home. Protect us. Keep us safe. Keep us faithful, Lord, looking unto Jesus, our author and finisher of our faith. All these things we ask in the precious and holy and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.